I live like two roads away from Stephen King.
Holy
he's
shit.
A fucking asshole.
Yeah, no, he is kind of an asshole, and I'm willing to say that, like, and put that out there for anyone to hear, basically.
I've never dealt with him.
No, he's the kind of guy that will cut in line because he's important, and, like, I've just generally heard only not nice things about him, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I've never come into contact with the guy, so I couldn't tell you, like, personally. Mm-hmm. But I've just heard, like, anyone that has seen him in public, he's just not nice. He's, like, entitled and, you know.
He knows he's famous.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, he does.
His house is pretty cool, though.
I took this girl on a date who was from the coast, and she was actually really excited because I took her picture out front of his house, and she's like, oh, it's one of the things I want to do on my bucket list. I'm like, really? One of the things you want to do on your bucket list is get your picture taken out front of Stephen King's house? Okay.
That's pretty
basic. Like, I mean, I'm glad that I was able to do that for her, but at the same time, it's like, really? Have some higher standards.
Yeah, there's so much more that you could do with your life, like, anything. I don't know.
Like, literally anything else. Gotcha.
See, I'm shitting on this, we're shitting on this person, and I have, like, zero standards in anything, so I guess I really shouldn't open my mouth.
Yeah. Well, at least you don't want to get your picture taken in front of Stephen King's house. I think
that's very true.
It's a pretty good start.
Yeah, it is a good start.
So we do a show sometimes. It's called Rumors Abridged, and we don't really know what we're doing usually half the time, but we make it work.
Like with life, we don't know what we're doing. We just go through the motions and hope it all pans out.
Yeah. And there's those vibes that are instilled in this show that we do. And it's fine. It usually comes out fine. So welcome to Rumors Abridged. We talk about, you know, rumors, speculations, things like that. And I'm Scotty.
I'm Chris.
I'm Gray.
I'm Connor.
We're all beautiful boys. So,
handsome boys. The handsome boys club. We're just gonna call our podcast the Handsome Boys Club.
Ooh, is it too late to change our name? Probably.
I don't think so. Maybe? No.
I don't know. I mean, we're the ones in control of that. So. All right.
Do what you want. What you want with your podcast.
So, kind of like how Aqua Teen Hunger Force changed the name of their show.
Oh yeah. Like,
oh god, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
What? Oh god.
I don't even know what it's called now, but
yeah, I don't even think it's still running. I don't know if it is.
It's not. Yeah, they ended it like some time ago. Before we get really into what the main topic of this episode is, I want to just say that it's not going to be what you think it is. We're going to talk about Cyberpunk 2077. It's not going to be like we're not shining a great light on this one because I mean everyone kind of knows, like, if you're into video games, you know about this game. I'm going to say personally, like, I played it on PC. I enjoyed the shit out of it. It's very flawed. I understand why people don't like it. We're not reviewing the game. I'm just wondering what the fuck's going on with this game, because They have such high hopes for this game, and they've talked about, oh yeah, we're gonna release this and blah blah blah. And, oh, now we're hacked and all this. I'm sure that you guys have heard about the hack that revealed, like, I think it was like a, what was it, like a source code, or like they basically are like ransomwaring the code or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the exact details, but I know they got hit with something.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. No, someone stole their code for the game, basically, and they threatened to sell it to like some private buyer or something like that, if like I don't remember what the condition of it was. I think they were basically like blackmailing or extorting CD Projekt Red for some reason, which is kind of crazy. And then they went and sold it.
You should insert that a clip from that trailer where Keanu Reeves is like, "What makes you a criminal or whatever?"
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like getting caught or something like that. I don't remember what it is. That would be fucking hilarious, though. God, that's insane.
Oh, they did end up actually going through with that, and so now the whole, like, they're supposed to release another patch for the game, which likely would have fucked more things up than it fixed. which is sort of on track for the updates so far for the game.
Speaking of it being fucked up, I have to, like, I know we're going to talk about that. I have a funny story to tell. Like, a funny, tragic story to tell when we get to the amount of fuck-ups that that game has been through.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're there if you want to go for it now. This isn't...
Well, so... We're pretty... So here's the story. I'll make it quick. So, one of the big issues Cyberpunk had was there was a recent patch where... Basically, there was a game-breaking bug where you play the game, and like as soon as you start, you'd pull out your cell phone, you talk on your cell phone, and like no one would talk back. It would just, you were just constantly on your cell phone, nothing was happening, nothing was going on. Mm-hmm. Now, that bug happened to my boss, and my boss was playing Cyberpunk nonstop for months. He has, I'm looking at Steam profile right now, 140 hours on Cyberpunk. That bug, and there was no way for it to be fixed. You couldn't go back to like an old save point. You couldn't, like, yeah. So all of his saves were fucked. So he had 140 hours that he now can't even finish.
Oh man, that sucks.
I was like, dude, that's awful. He's like, yeah, I'm pretty sick. I don't think I'll ever touch that game ever again after that.
No. Yeah, I would be pretty fucking angry.
Yeah.
I'd be more than pretty angry.
Yeah, that's incredibly frustrating. Yeah, so...
That's why I stopped playing it, because I heard about that, and I was like, man, I don't want that to happen to me.
Yeah, no, I'm lucky that I got through it before, like... You know,
bad things
anything
happened.
Really, yeah, before anything terrible happened. I mean, like I said, like, I'm not going to talk great about the game on this episode because there's a lot of things about the game that are just not good. And I feel like a lot of it is mostly for consoles, specifically the Xbox One and the PS4. Like, I didn't personally experience a whole lot of issues. I did experience a lot of bugs that were honestly pretty hilarious, but it was nothing that really got in the way of me, like, playing the game and enjoying it. That's probably about the last good thing I'm going to say about this game tonight. So there was supposed to be a bug fix update, which is kind of hilarious that... That they've had to put off this update because they got fucking hacked.
Oh,
there's something really ironic about that, about a game that's focuses on a lot of hacking. So yeah, I guess that patch isn't coming until like later in March, which is.
Jeez. It's coming eventually, like Cyberpunk. It took forever to come.
Yeah, no, it's never. And there's people that were talking about it, like, you know, when it just after it came out, they were like, "Oh, just give it time. It's gonna be like The Witcher 3 was really bugged and wasn't really like."
It was not that bugged.
No, exactly. I don't think that it was quite as bugged as Cyberpunk is. Even still now, like, it's still a very heavily flawed game.
They're gonna pull a No Man's Sky.
Well, and here's the thing, exactly. Like, a lot of people are thinking that it's gonna be that, and I think that it could be that. Absolutely. I think that in time it could be, but is it, like, the issue that I see with, and this is, we're gonna sort of get this idea back on track of, like, is it ever gonna be a worthwhile experience when it's complete? Is if you compare it to No Man's Sky, which I think not flawlessly, but it did a really good 180. It became a game that people can play and enjoy, and it's truly like an underdog story, I think. Maybe not an underdog story because there was a lot of deception involved.
Yeah.
At first, but I don't think that it's. I don't think Cyberpunk is the same kind of game that's gonna be like that, because No Man's Sky. The reason why it's so, you know, highly regarded now that it's quote unquote finished, or closer to it, what it was supposed to be, is because it's multiplayer. You know, And Cyberpunk. I guess they were gonna do a multiplayer game, but it's not like the same idea. You know, sandbox fucking. GTA clone, basically. Like, I don't know. It could be. What do you guys think? Do you think that, like, it has that potential of making the same impact that, like, when No Man's Sky finally, like, became good? Do you think that it has that potential, or no?
Yeah. Just because they're, I mean, honestly, they have all the time in the world to fix it and do what they need to do to make it good, I guess, you know. But yeah, that's as much as I know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I like Cyberpunk. I definitely think there's issues with it. I've put, I don't know, like about 23 hours into it, so not a ton. Mm-hmm. But man, when they showed the initial gameplay trailer where you're running on the walls and you got the blades coming out, I was like, man, is this like Deus Ex? Or I feel like I butchered the pronunciation, but Deus Ex, is this one of those games, except it's, you know, more heavily combat focused? I was like, oh, that's going to be cool. And now you get Cyberpunk, and one, I don't feel like it's anything that exciting. It's fun. But there was so much money put into ads trying to shove that game down your throat, be like, oh, it's going to be groundbreaking and all this shit. And I was one of the people hyping up. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to be such a revolutionary game. You get it, and it's like, oh, this is just a shooter with simple, you know, RPG elements, and it's just not that great. And I think with some updates and patches, I think it's going to go from, like, you know, the almost dog shit piece of shit it is to something that's actually pretty decent. But I don't think it's going to be as, like, revolutionary as people, as it should have been for how much work into it and how much marketing was done for it.
I agree.
See, I think that they're not going to do anything for last-gen consoles at all. Truly, I think they're like, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't have bought it on last gen. Buy a PS5, nerd. Because it seems like every time it's two steps forward, one step back for them. Or probably closer to the opposite of one step forward and two step back.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right about that. I think it could be maybe a worthwhile game. But like personally... For me, like, I tried to go back and play it a second time, and it just wasn't there for me, you know. I didn't find myself hooked by it, because I'm not gonna try and avoid spoilers really on this one, because I mean, but I'm not going to be like straight up with it either. A lot of the, I mean, I don't even think that it's really spoilers, but like, there's not a lot of branches in the game. It's all straightforward. You're going to do the same missions that you would have for every, you know, sort of character that you have to do missions for. Nothing changes. Like, it's not... It would be one thing if you could take paths. You know, you look at games that do this, that are like, that are similar. Like
Fallout New Vegas.
Like Fallout New Vegas, exactly. That's exactly where I was going with that. And in a lot of ways, Cyberpunk 2077 feels a lot like the same sort of experience as Fallout is. And like it was actually kind of remarkable for me when I was really getting into it, that it felt like I was playing Fallout, but in a cyberpunk setting, sort of. But you don't have the branches, you know. It's going to be the same thing every time that you play through. So where I'm going with that is the only way that it would be worthwhile to me to play is when they release more patches and more content. And even at that point, like, how much are we really going to get, you know? That's just my take on it, I guess.
No, I think I could agree with that. I mean, we need more content, or, I mean, the game's just going to stagnate and fade into obscurity or meme culture. That's really the only two branches it's going to go down.
Yeah.
To me, it's kind of like Fallout 4 was for me. What I've played of it, it's a good game, but it's not a good RPG.
No, not at all. It's not even an RPG. Barely.
Yeah.
It's the four different ways to say yes or no simulator.
Exactly.
Yep.
No, it's really exactly that.
Yes, but no. Sarcastically, yes. I'm going to question and then say yes.
Yeah.
Hey, at least it's not the three games in, and then at the end of the third game, it's which color explosions do you get? Like, at least it's not that.
Yeah.
We could talk about a certain Mass Effect game that did that.
Ugh.
Man. Yeah, you know, I'm actually really excited. We can divert a little bit. Mass Effect Trilogy Remastered Legendary Edition. Oh my god. So what they're gonna do here is they've basically incorporated the extended cut for 3 as the ending now. So it's just they rework the ending, so it's not just like 3 choices and then all of your agency is taken away, basically. I mean, it still is to a point, but you know.
It's a little better than what was original, because the original ending was just awful, because it was so similar. No matter what you picked, it was all pretty much the same thing. At least, like, that added a little bit more to it.
Yeah. I'm really excited. Chris, did you ever play Mass Effect?
No, dude, I didn't.
Oh. So, in May, they're re-releasing the original trilogy. And I think that's a game you could fuck with hard. If you like how...
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, no. If you like how... Like, I mean, you played New Vegas. The two games are not similar gameplay-wise in any way. But it's the same idea of, like, an RPG that I think you'd get... I think you'd like it. It's definitely a shooter. And it's definitely an RPG at the same time. And, like, you should definitely play it. It's really, really good shit. Like,
I'll check. Maybe I'll do that thing I was talking about, just taking like a week or two off of work and just blowing through it.
You couldn't. You couldn't. No.
So
no.
Two. What you're saying is I just need to leave work for like 2 weeks.
You would be lucky, in my experience and in the experience that I've seen people play through the trilogy. You would be hard pressed to finish all 3 games in a month. There's a lot to these games.
Yeah, each game is like 60 hours.
Yeah, and
or
more. Like the first game was a lot, and I think two, like I feel like I think two was actually a little shorter than the first one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but the load times in one made it last a lot longer.
Yeah, that's true. But two, I think, is like Mass Effect 2 has got to be one of my favorite fucking games of all time because, like, yeah, it's a little shorter than the first one, but they make up for it in just the general energy of the game. That it's like a Wild West type game feel. You know what I mean? Like, and you're working for the bad guys, sort of. I don't want to give too much away, but like the dynamic of the relationships between you, like your character, and the squad mates that you have is so much different in the second one than it is in the first one, that it makes it so, it just feels so fresh. Like, I don't know how to describe it. But
I'm just glad how 2 updated the combat.
Oh yeah. Oh,
the
yeah.
combat for 1 was bad.
It was like
it had a great role playing elements, but like the combat in 1 was just miserable. My first time playing Mass Effect 1, I loaded up my buddy's save file just to try it, and I was at the final boss, and I beat him my first time playing, because the combat was just so simple.
Yeah.
But 2 added a little bit more, and I think 3 kind of refined the combat to be a little better. But I really liked how 1 had the best role playing elements.
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah, and this remaster has actually—I don't know if you've heard this—but it's incorporated the sort of 2 and 3 combat into it. They reworked the whole game, so all of the games now feel exactly the same. So it's fluent and it's not clunky like the first game. Yeah. Which I think is really exciting because like maybe last year I bought the trilogy on my computer to replay it. And I went to start the first game and I got into it a little bit and I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't do this. Mechanically it's not good anymore. Like, it was excusable back in 2006 when it first came out, or 2006 or 2007, because, I mean, there was still nothing like it out there. But you play 2 and 3, and there's no way that you can go back to playing 1. Like, it's just not possible. I mean, it's possible, but it hurts. I don't know. But I'm excited for that. I mean, I only have an N7 tattoo on my chest, so I mean... It's your guess if I
That's
would be
true.
Excited.
I forgot for that all or not. About that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot all about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cyberpunk 2077. That shit pisses me off to no fucking end, because I feel betrayed, honestly.
Yeah, I was gonna say I feel lied to.
Yeah.
I wanted to get it, but then I started hearing about all the terrible things and where I only have a PS4. I was like, I'm gonna stay away. But also, I bought Cold War, so what's the difference?
Yeah, oh god.
I think what gets me the most is they advertised it and marketed it as a last-gen game, obviously with PC in mind, and they just created a product that is just absolutely not compatible with any of the last gen systems.
Yeah, no, it should not have been released on PS4 and Xbox One. Like, no, like, there's no which way around that statement. It should not have been. Like, there was times when I was playing it on the computer, which was like, there's no way that this game should have been released on last gen console. It just shouldn't have been. It's a huge game. They flopped it so hard. They really did. It would have been excusable, I think, if they had just pushed it back and been like, look, we're gonna get in front of this and say that it's not gonna come out on this generation of consoles. And I think that they would have had a lot better of a reaction doing that. And they would have probably ended up making more money off of it in the long run. But they're a greedy corporation. when it comes down to it.
CD Projekt Red is the new EA?
I mean, I don't want to go that far, but...
No, absolutely not. Because at least they don't release the exact same game every year. Excuse me, the exact same three games every year.
Oh, God, that's terrible. And that's not counting sports games.
Oh, no, that's... Sports. That was counting sports games.
Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. Sports. Okay. Yeah, no.
Madden, FIFA, and NHL.
Yeah, that's true. No, all right. Well, because I was thinking about, like, how there's Battlefield, and then there's, like...
Yeah.
There's Battlefront, which, literally... Battlefront and Battlefront 2, talking about the newer ones, not the original ones, were in the same exact game.
Oh, I only played 2 a little bit, and I just didn't get my attention.
Yeah, no, it was all right. Connor, we actually talked about those two games a little bit before you joined the call. We could go there, I guess. They were the same fucking game.
Oof.
Mechanically, graphically, I mean... I couldn't really tell much.
Now, I'll disagree graphically.
Well,
I think I'll disagree graphically.
You are right about that, actually. Maybe it had
because I will say Battlefront 2 is a gorgeous game.
Yeah. Oh, like, no, it looks great.
It looks good. The only problem is it plays like every other first/third-person shooter.
Big agree. Yeah. I mean, it's a fun game. Don't get me
wrong. Oh, yeah.
But it's not something I would invest a lot of time in, personally.
Or the gotcha money.
Yeah, no. Ha. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we don't talk about gotcha as much anymore on this show since before you joined us, Connor.
We had at least 3 Genshin plugs an episode.
Yeah.
We're talking about our favorite Genshin Impact waifus.
Well, not necessarily. Aww. But I mean, you can if you want to. We're definitely no strangers to those references on this show. Before you got here, Cameron, anyone that listens to the show knows Cameron as the Genshin guru, basically, because almost every episode there is a reference to Genshin Impact.
There was literally an episode in which, in the background, you could hear him doing wishes.
Oh, yeah, no. And I think the last 3 episodes that he was in, he was straight up, he wasn't even hiding it. He was just playing the game while we were recording. That's some dedication, man. It really is.
Jeez.
Dedication or addiction?
Or addiction, yeah.
I gave up.
What?
Oh, Genshin Impact. No, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, what is addiction but forced dedication?
Yeah.
I tried Genshin Impact, and I realized I'm just done with free.
You cut out, Connor.
Yeah.
Connor?
Uh-oh.
Did the feds get him too? Again?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can hear you now.
Okay. Oh, I thought the feds had gotten him too.
Yeah. Yeah. They really do have us in their sights.
Well, we've already got one in custody.
Rip. So the fucking. Oh, I don't even know how I feel about Cyberpunk anymore. I have it installed still. I don't know why.
I might try to buy it. I don't know.
Yeah. It's not gonna run great.
Yeah, I'll do it just to be like, well, I don't know. It just for fun.
Just for fun.
Because video games are for, right? Is having fun. Is that the thing? I don't know.
Generally,
what are video games for? Is it simply just for fun?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it used to be, but I think nowadays we play video games so that we can tell poor people that, you know, they are not as cool as us.
That they're missing out.
I played Soul of the Void in my life.
What a plebe.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I think you had something for us too. We were in a good spot for a good segue for that, and then we brushed past it. So,
well, barring any other things, I have an article by IGN suggesting that a 500 gigabyte PS4 may no longer be able to fit Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War and Warzone.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to kind of paraphrase through the article. I'm not going to read it. Essentially, a post on the Call of Duty blog, a franchise publisher wrote, "Those who own a standard PlayStation 4 with a default hard drive of 500 gigabytes may need to make room if they have the full version of Modern Warfare / Warzone and Black Ops Cold War with all modes and packs installed. Should you have both games installed and have kept up to date with updates, you may need to delete some unused game content to have a successful download and install of the latest Warzone patch."
Huh. Yeah, it's going to keep getting bigger.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's tough. That's just there. I don't know. Just buy another console. Just have two.
Yeah.
Just for Call of Duty.
Yeah, this PlayStation is my Warzone Black Ops Cold War PlayStation.
Warzone. Oh, this machine is my Genshin Impact PlayStation.
Yeah.
This is my Cyberpunk PlayStation. It goes right in the trash.
Yeah.
I will say right now, there's no reason that Scotty and I don't have. There's no reason that Scotty and I don't have three PlayStations in this apartment right now.
Yeah, we definitely don't have three PlayStations in this house. No one should. No one ask about that further.
Yeah, we have one community PlayStation, and yeah.
Yeah, and then each of us has our own PlayStation that we use for games.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't live in the first world at all.
Yeah, we're actually working on a program to get PlayStations to all of our neighbors.
Yeah.
So far, the only solution that we have is stealing. People keep telling me that's bad, though.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So is it like that thing where we try to get like iPads to all the kids in third world countries, except we're gonna do PS4s to all the neighborhoods?
Yeah, you should see Street. Don't worry, I'm gonna bleep out the name of this. But you should see it. It's basically like Somalia. So.
Yeah, cars that are kind of beat up looking and apartments. There's not a single house, even really in this neighborhood. Well, there are houses in the neighborhood, but it's mostly apartments. And we probably have the cheapest one. Yeah. We probably have the cheapest apartment.
Yeah, and honestly, it's too bad. I've seen worse apartments.
Pretty good. Oh yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we're really doing charity work. Steal from the rich up in the foothills, give to street neighbors.
Yeah. Pretty much. We're trying to expand into stealing from Walmart as well.
Hold on.
Oh, no.
I have to say that we're not actually doing that as a disclaimer.
Oh yeah, we.
So I'm not taking seriously.
I do not steal from Walmart, and I do not believe anybody we know is stealing from Walmart.
Certainly not.
Anyways, so Call of Duty can't fit on a PlayStation anymore. Has technology gone too far?
Oh, what was that?
What?
Our producer just said that we can't put that one in. No, we actually have to cut it now. We've been canceled for that one. Yeah, no, I think
God damn you, Sam Walton.
Wall man. Yeah, no, I here's the thing with the size of that game file is I can't justify having that much of my hard drive being taken up on my computer. As much as I like, because I mean, I'm not a big COD person. Like, I don't play it a lot. And if I do, it's socially mostly. I don't do that as much as I used to, like back like when COVID happened. We were doing that shit all the time because that's all there was to do, and that's what everyone played, and we could play it all on, you know, our respective consoles or systems. And now I cannot justify having almost 200 gigabytes being taken up on my computer for something that I play maybe once a month or two times a month, you know?
Yeah,
I've still been playing on and off. I played last night, actually. At this point, it's more of a comfort thing. I don't even really enjoy it. It's just something to do.
That sounds about right.
It's nostalgia at this point. You know, I don't actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually why I still have Total War Warhammer 2 on my computer. It's more of a comfort thing. I don't play it often, and usually when I'm playing it, it's pretty stressed out.
I just like to know it's there.
Yeah, no. I do load it up every now and then, and every time I play it, I go into like a 2 or 3 day binge on it, and I don't do anything but that. And it stresses me out the entire time. But I'm not going to delete it. Why would I?
I have yet to play that.
Oh, man, it's so good. I say it stresses me out, but it's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. However, be prepared to spend a lot of money on it.
Because all the expansions?
It's a very fucking expensive game. Yeah, let me pull up my Steam real quick.
Because I got the base game and, like, a couple expansions. Yeah. But, like, it was, like, a Humble Bundle or something.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with Total War Warhammer 2. So there's the base game where you have, I don't know, however many like factions that you can start with. But there's also like they've integrated the first game and the second game, sort of like how Hitman and Hitman 2 are, and Hitman 3 now, like the newer ones. So they've sort of integrated these two games. So when you if you're like me and you buy Warhammer 2, and you're like, oh, like, I like this. Oh, what are these other options? Oh, I'm going to go buy this DLC pack. These ones are free. I can do that, no problem. And then you start looking at some of these other options for factions. And then you start to realize, I have to own the first game in order to get these factions. And some of them are DLC from the first game. Okay? So if you're like me and you really enjoy Warhammer 2, you end up spending $60 on Warhammer 2. You end up spending however much on the first game. You buy all of the DLC. Some of it's free, which is good. But there's 19 DLC. Some of them are free. I'd say about half of them. Like, there's two of them are $18.99 for the first game. For the second. And then the rest of them are all $10. So, and that's not including the DLC first game. So, I've spent probably well over $300 on this game.
Oh, shit.
But was it worth it?
It was so fucking worth it, dude. Of course it was worth it. It was amazing. Go. Yeah, no, it's so much. It's like, because I'll always go back to it. And, you know, it's worth it. And you don't have to buy all of them either. I just am a nerd. So yeah, just my point is, be wary if you buy that game because you may feel pressure from yourself to spend way more money than you need to. And the good news is, there's a third one coming out soon.
Right.
So.
money me now.
Yeah.
Well, I guess on the bright side, you have most of everything paid for except for the new game.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 No, it's an affliction. Fucking game. It's still worth it. So, I had a question pulled up from Reddit that I think is a good kind of good question to ask. This one is asked by, I like this name, Alt Tab at Work, which seems very relevant to working and gaming and other things that are not allowed at work. We'll leave that one open-ended. So yeah, this one's posted by on Reddit Ask Games. Which single player game left a void in you after you finished it?
A lot. There's a lot.
I was about to say, there's a lot. I know.
There's a lot for me too. It doesn't, I mean, any
you know,
one that
I think
out.
The most recent one for me would be Metal Gear 5.
Yeah. Don't say too much. I'm playing it right now.
Yeah, yeah. We have two people in this call haven't completed it.
Oof.
Yeah.
There's one part, I won't give you any details, but there's one part that's very emotional, and like I was just blown away.
I know.
And
what
my
part.
Roommate, who's not into Metal Gear, happened to like walk in and just see that whole scene.
You're talking
he's
about
like, dude,
you're talking about the part where he's in the field, leaned up against the rock, right?
No.
No? Okay, because that was another one. I don't know what you're talking about then. But there is one. Yeah. Yeah. I did make it sound like he died. That's not what happened. I just wanted to be clear.
No. Yeah, no, it's the one that takes place. It's the event that takes place in your base.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah,
I know. Ugh. Yeah, that was a nightmare, dude. I felt many emotions.
I felt bad.
I felt many
emotions. I felt some feels.
Yeah, and I think that
it's not
about as much as we can talk about it without it happen.
That's not what the puppy, is it?
No.
Oh, no, I love the dog.
I think
Diamond, I love the dog.
No, Diamond Dog lives. Diamond Dog does not.
Okay.
Live. Yeah. No.
All right.
Yeah, he's a good boy. Right.
No. Thank God.
Yeah, no, you don't have to worry about that.
I don't know. We're about to John Wick this bitch.
No. I feel that. That was one, too, because you know, I'm like, because I finished it recently enough to really feel that. That sentiment about that game, because it's over, you know. It's like,
and there could have been more.
There could have been more, and we're gonna talk. We're gonna talk for a moment about fucking Konami, okay? Because those guys are bastards. I actually don't have much to say about him aside from that, so I'm gonna recant the statement of really talking about them. They suck.
Okay.
Yeah. Who else has one of those feels?
Towards the end of Red Dead 2.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. I have to
and
go
I'm
there
playing
too.
It again. Oh yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah. I would have to agree with Gray. That was really tough. Before that, I was pretty the whole time. Like I was like pretty like so like emotionally about like any of the characters, and then like the last events in the last like chapter, like the main story, like
yeah, before the epilogue.
Really, yeah, before the epilogue.
No, you mean where the game like really ends and we don't have to go through 8 hours of fucking bullshit?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
At that point, at the end of the main story, my attitude changed completely, and I was very sad, especially since I had like maximum horse bonding, and so you get the extra little cutscene there, and
yeah,
it was pretty tough.
Same.
And then going to like play as John after that, like I was just like, so what? We're just gonna not think about this for a minute because it just jumps right into like the epilogue. So
it's like, yep, this happened. All right, anyway.
All right, anyways, so here's what you guys really wanted the whole time. You're playing as John now.
We anticipated you wanting to play as John, so here you go.
Yeah. I mean, I think it worked. Like, I think
it was cool.
Epilogue, it worked. It could have been a little bit less dry, but
yeah, it was pretty. It was a video game.
Yeah.
It was a part in a video game.
I've got another one too.
Yeah.
At the end of the second or third act of Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah. That was a game that I can agree with you on that feeling of completing it, at least getting through like portions of it and feeling like, ugh, that's over. Like, I don't know.
I like Ghost of Tsushima. I just felt like near the end, I felt like it just got a little repetitive.
Yeah, it did.
It was good, though.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's really hard for me to, like, if I'm looking back on 2020 as far as gaming, we already did one of these, but I'm going to go again. It's so hard for me to pick which game I felt more like stood out more in 2020 than between Ghost of Tsushima and The Last of Us Part 2. Because like Ghost of Tsushima, I really, really enjoyed it. It was not the perfect game, but it was a game that I just enjoyed it. It was good the whole way through for me personally, so
that was my top played game of the year. As a game I put the most amount of hours into was Ghost of Tsushima.
Really?
Yeah.
I can see that. There's a lot of stuff to do, and it's just fun.
Yeah, I got the platinum on it.
Oh, of course you did.
What's the platinum? What is that?
When you get all of the trophies.
Oh, holy game. Shit.
Yeah, it was pretty easy.
I think the easiest plat I've ever had was Spider-Man 2018.
Oh.
Ooh, the Telltale games.
Yeah, that
you just play the game and you get it.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, kind of same with the with Spider-Man.
Well, you had to do like a little bit, like a bunch of the side missions. Like it got a little tedious. Yeah.
Well, my thing was I was trying to do a lot of the side missions between like story missions because I was trying to like hold off towards the end.
Right, that's probably the best way to do it because like it's just I beat the game and they cleaned everything up. I was just so bored.
Chris, I want to hear from you about a game that left you feeling fucking empty.
Oh, I don't know. I think maybe like the actually. One of the first video games I beat on my own, which was Resident Evil 2, I think, on the Nintendo 64. And, you know, at the end, it's just like really action-packed, you know, and then, like, I was a kid and I, like, figured out all the shit to beat it and, you know, how to play the game. And I do distinctly remember after that feeling a void because like just that like sense of like accomplishing something was like so great, and then after that I was like well fuck, what do I do now? This is awful. And then I was like, oh wait, I could just play the game again. So that's what I did. But yeah, for the most part, yeah, I like feel that with like I don't know if it's disappointment or what after beating video games, but I kind of get that with to some extent with like whatever I play.
Yeah, I feel that. So for me, I don't know if anyone else is going to feel the same way, but for me, the one that stands out the most, there's two actually that stand out the most, but one is more so, and that is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other is Fable 2, just because that was Fable 2 for me was like probably the most highly anticipated game for me ever that I've ever wanted, except for maybe Mass Effect 2. I don't know, but yeah, KOTOR 2, when I finished the game, I was like so sad because you can never forget the events of a game and experience it fresh ever. You can't do it. And like, there are so many moments in KOTOR 2 where I was like genuinely like pushed to just keep going and explore more of this world and do everything that there was to do. And like when it was over and I realized I had done everything real, like, I mean, aside from going through and doing like a different playthrough with a different class, I mean, you already got most of the shit. There's not a whole, I mean, some things will change, but like, it's, you're never gonna have that fresh experience again. And it's like, oh man,
just like that first time feeling.
Yeah. Not knowing what's next, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything being like a mystery and like, yeah. Yeah. That's completely understandable.
Yeah.
Understandable. Have a nice day.
Yeah. How did you know that was going to be my pick, Connor?
You know, because it's you and it's a BioWare game. That's fair. I feel like that's fair.
What are you talking about? I don't have two BioWare tattoos.
No. No. I have no idea. Hasn't only like one person ever pointed out like your Neverwinter Nights tattoo?
Yeah, I've had two people actually.
Oh.
But it was very far in between. I've had it noticed. I had it noticed by someone when I was working like at a gas station one time. He was like, "Is that a fucking Neverwinter Nights tattoo?" I'm like, "Yeah, it is actually." I don't remember who the second person was.
Oh, I do. I do. It's one of the strippers at Diamonds.
Oh, really? I actually do not remember that. So
yeah, we were trashed out of our mind. You were so excited because we're like, wow, this girl, she's like actually kind of pretty, and she like noticed my Neverwinter Nights tattoo. So like now I want to get her information. I was like, yeah, you should.
That was probably a terrible idea. But we were trashed. Yeah, no.
It wasn't a terrible idea. It was probably the best idea ever.
Oh yeah, sure, yeah. Oh man, yeah. I really don't have any recollection of that. I don't recall probably a lot of shit that we've done.
Hey, yeah, that's fair. I can say the same.
Yeah. No. But the other one was recently enough. I'm trying to remember what it was like. It was since I moved here to Idaho that it happened that someone noticed it. I can't remember who, but yeah. So I guess that would make three people. Not common for people to recognize it.
I actually need to play Neverwinter Nights. I have them on my Steam account, but I have never actually played them.
Yeah. Oh, the first one is so hard to play, like in this day and age, because it's oh man.
I have two. I have both of them.
Yeah, and two. Neverwinter Nights 2 these days is still pretty hard to play, like if you're familiar with like modern games, obviously. It's not an easy game to go back to. Let me just put it like that. And recently enough, I think it was like later on in 2020, I did get the remaster of the first game on the Nintendo Switch, and it was like, you know, I played it and it is so hard to play. It doesn't look great, and I don't think necessarily that the game's looking great is super important, but it's you can tell that it's a very old game. It's very difficult to get into, and it's Dungeons and Dragons, so it's hard as fuck. Because they didn't pamper you when they did older D&D games. They were like, this is what D&D is. It's not gonna be necessarily easy. Like, I'm a shit stomp the first time I played it. It's hard. I don't know. Is there any other games that anyone else has like a that sort of feeling for? Or?
Well, The Last of Us.
Well, yeah, I mean,
everyone who's played it.
No, I can't really think of anything in particular, really, you know. That one's kind of a tough question.
I play a lot of, most of what I play is like single player games with good stories. And I know I said Metal Gear. That's one that stands out the most. Probably the most recent one that stands out now I think about it is Nier Automata.
Ooh, I never finished that one. I did have a blast with it when I played it, though.
Dude, so it has 26 different endings.
What?
Holy shit.
One for each letter of the alphabet, but only three. There's only like one true ending. There's like, I think it's like ending H or something like that, is if you like accidentally walk off a ledge and die. That's one of the endings. And it just says like, oh shit, you died. But you have to basically beat the game from like three times, and then you get like this ending that's really deep and philosophical. Just the whole game is just a very deep weeb experience with a great soundtrack and great anime thighs. It's just, you know, it's just awesome.
It's really good to know that we didn't lose the weeb part of the show, because Cameron was definitely that too.
Oh, dude, I have a picture of 2B right on my laptop. Like, oh, she's queen.
Yeah, and
she's queen.
Yeah, and anyone listening to this can't see it. Connor's Discord profile picture is Joker from Persona 5.
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah. Yeah.
Same with my Steam account. It's Joker as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well, so we managed to talk about Cyberpunk in a way that I think wasn't good, which was at least how I imagine it going, because there's good things to talk about, but overall there's nothing good to talk about. I'm glad that we at least were able to touch on it and not like praise it like some people do. I guess. I mean, I was in that camp when it first came out, but I thought my feelings have changed.
Yeah, it seems like a mess, and I wish them the best. So there's that.
I hope it all works out.
I hope it doesn't.
Well, at least you're honest.
I hope they struggle with it. What if they ended up like, what if they ended up patching and releasing a DLC, and it was like the multiplayer came up and like they had all this other stuff, and then it just turned into like Second Life.
Oh god.
And they just did a Cyberpunk Second Life.
I mean,
that would be fucking sick.
That would be about the only way that I would continue to support that. Fuck. I'd play it. I think if they did that, It would end up being so much more than just Cyberpunk 2077.
They include the cock, like how big you can make your dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you guys spend a lot of time on cock size on Cyberpunk?
No. I mean, I wish I could, because there's not much for options.
Oh, really?
It doesn't really matter. Yeah, no, like, I don't think my dick size really affected anything.
No.
Like, in real life, you know?
Yeah, no.
I heard that it could affect the sizes of different trucks you could drive on the game.
Absolutely. Nice.
Yeah, no, if you have a big cock in Cyberpunk 2077, you're actually not allowed to drive trucks at all.
You can only drive a Prius.
You drive the Cyberpunk equivalent of a Prius.
Yeah. I thought that was a really weird option that they put into the game, where, like, if you have the smaller cock option, then you're actually restricted to only pickup trucks, big pickup trucks.
That sounds like full immersion.
Yeah, exactly. And if you try to get into anything other than a big lifted truck, then actually Max Tack gets called on you and like immediately. And like the whole like section of the city gets locked down, you know. The military shows up. It's a mess.
See, I heard that they just nuke it and you have to start from level one.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't tried it. I went with the no genitals option, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's a thing?
Yeah.
Is that really a thing? Yeah. Oh shit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I would I kind of want to play it now just so I can
make a really fucked up looking guy.
Maybe.
Which you can do, absolutely.
I want to push the limits. I want to see, fuck it, let's see how big a penis can really get.
Yeah. I'm sure there's mods for that. There's gotta be, like, what if you have, like a cartoonishly large penis. Like, clips through whatever you're wearing.
Oh shit, that would be amazing.
Just carry it over shoulder, use it like a gun. Or a melee weapon.
Melee attack, yeah.
Yeah. No, there's dildos in the game. I think one of the iconic weapons is a dildo, I'm pretty sure. Or it's like a, yeah, I think it's a dildo.
As it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we've been talking about
such
penises.
Is the way.
We've been talking about penises for far too long.
Yeah.
No, not long enough.
So, this has been an episode of Rumors of Bridge that you've just listened to, if you're listening. If you're not, then I don't know how you're hearing this. So I had personally been Scotty. I don't know who these guys are. They just kind of showed up on this voice call.
I'm Chris. Nice to meet you.
I'm Gray. Nice to meet you guys too.
I'm Connor, and I think I've met you all before.
Don't know about all that. We'll have to look into it.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to call my guy, my people guy about that one. So, end of podcast.
They only want you when you're 17, when you're 21. Oh, I was saying how many left to go? Like 100? 200?
100 or 200?
300?
I mean...
Something?
I don't know. However many we have to do until we don't get either canceled. I don't know who would cancel us. No one listens to this show. That's not true.
Wait, people actually listen to us? Shit.
Yeah, they no, they do, yeah.
I thought I was screaming into the void on this.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. I mean, but, yeah, no. However many we have to do until we either go to jail or we get canceled, which is going to be first.
Yeah, we can make bets on that all day. At this point, anything's possible, and I'm looking forward to it.
Honestly.
But I don't know. Yo, I gotta use the bathroom. Be right back.